I was using so much fossil fuel. What do you tell us?
Yeah, this has been a real sticking point between the United States and Europe as they try to develop this unified sanctions approach to confronting Russia. And of course, you remember the United States banned Russian oil imports, but that was much harder to do in Europe, which is far more dependent on Russian oil and gas. What this task force will do is sort of come up with strategies for Europe to find alternative sources and
okay,
also
watch some news and play some guitar.
To provide Europe with its own liquefied natural gas, 15 billion cubic meters of it in 2022. So really kind of trying to backfill what Europe was taking from Russia and trying to sort of loosen the dependence and try and take ensure that Vladimir Putin isn't profiting off of Europe's dependence on this gas. Now, when the president leaves Brussels and comes to Poland later today, it will really be an opportunity for him to see at much closer range some of these issues that he had been talking about at NATO over the last several days. One of them is, of course, refugees, and that's something that the president will be focused on when he visits the border region very close to Ukraine, about 60 miles. He'll attend a roundtable with aid workers, hear from the Polish President Andrzej Duda. Duda has been explicit in requesting that the United States do more to expedite Ukrainian refugees coming to the United States who have family there. Yesterday, of course, the President announced...
The President is taking the podium now. Sorry to interrupt you. Let's look at what he has to say.
And we announced a new groundbreaking mission to the European Union and the United States. First, we're coming together to reduce your dependence on Russian energy. Putin has issued Russia's energy resources to coerce, manipulate, and state. That's how he's used it. He's used the profits to drive his war machine. And that's why earlier this month I announced the United States would ban all imports of Russian energy, making it clear that American people would not be part of subsidizing Putin's brutal, unjustified war against Ukraine. At the time, I noted that we were able to take this step and others could not because the United States is a net exporter of energy with a strong domestic energy. And the United States welcomed the European Union's powerful statement early this month, committing to rapidly reduce its dependence on Russian gas. Today, we've agreed on a joint game plan toward that goal while accelerating our progress toward a secure, clean energy future. This initiative focuses on two core issues. One, helping Europe reduce its dependency on Russian gas as quickly as possible. Secondly, reducing Europe's demand for gas overall. To address the first point, the United States, together with our international partners, we're going to work to ensure that this will 15 billion cubic meters of liquefied natural gas, LNG, from Europe this year. And as the EU looks to discontinue buying Russian gas well before 2030, we'll also work to ensure additional demand of 50 billion cubic meters of LNG from the United States and Europe by 2030. To accomplish this,
yeah, part of the reason why I like to record these is because it makes me play. It makes me set a time every day and play and practice no matter what. I kind of like that. So this is my warm up. Maybe I should warm up beforehand. I tuned up before.
For the last decade. So we're going to have to make sure that families in Europe can get through this one and the next while we're building the infrastructure for a diversified, resilient, and clean energy future. At the same time, this crisis also presents an opportunity. It's a catalyst. A catalyst that will drive the investments we need to double down on our clean energy goal and accelerate the process for our net zero emissions future. That's what the second part of this initiative is all about. The United States and the European Union are going to work together to take concrete measures to reduce dependence on natural gas, period, and to maximize the availability and use of renewable energy. We're going to accelerate widespread adoption of energy-efficient technologies and equipment like smart thermostats, to work and work to work to electrify a heating system all across Europe. We're going to invest in innovative solutions and technology to make the switch from fossil fuels. And together, we'll advance the use of clean renewable hydrogen.
Actually, speak louder than words, man. Emissions. I want to see people recycling their smelly gas cars. I want to see people building electric car charging facilities.
We're going to stand up a joint task force to implement these changes and drive progress.
I see people generating solar power.
Co-chaired by representatives from the White House and the President of the European Union's team, the Commission's team. Madam President,
and anybody that doesn't
know
these things,
I don't understand. Gas will have costs for Europe. But it's not only the right thing to do from a moral standpoint.
Biden, the EU President, discussed his independence on Russian oil.
And I'm proud to announce that we also need some other major breakthroughs in the transition. Privacy and security are key elements of my digital agenda. But today, we agreed to unprecedented protections for data privacy and security for our citizens. This new arrangement will enhance the Privacy Shield framework, promote growth and innovation in Europe and the United States.
In a way, they're letting this Russian intervention cause the rift between the East and the West.
The United States and EU are finding creative new approaches to knit our economy and our people close together.
Because if they stop buying Russian gas and oil, they'll have to buy it from somebody else, and then they're going to make different ties and
data protection
other trade partners
and get away from Russian. So, thank you again, Madam President, for your personal friendship, for your partnership, for above all your leadership. All of this will bring the European Union and the United States even closer together, and that's a win for all of us. So I thank you all, and I'm now going to yield the podium to President for this hour.
Kevin, let's talk a little bit about this deal.
I mean, this is about getting natural gas supplies to Europe to wean Europe off of that reliance on Russia.
Yeah, Russia
took a step back and then stopped working and started talking to somebody.
Between the U.S. and the EU in the lead up to these talks this week, even before these talks,
seems a little bit off.
It's been something of a contention point between the two sides as the U.S. kind of nudged Europe to try and reduce its dependence on Russian energy. But of course, Europe relied on the United States.
This is reset, and this changing of the partners will cause prices to reset too, which means it's like a different cartel being born.
To try and sort of locate these areas where this LNG could be provided to Europe, where oil could be provided to Europe, so that they could cut off their supply from Russia. This is sort of the culmination of that effort today. Now, we were told in the last several days that White House officials had been in what was described as a very intense back and forth. And these are very hard conversations. European leaders are recognized that their populations do not want to pay more for energy, particularly in the winter. Politically, it's a very difficult choice for them to make, to say that you're going to have to pay more for gas because you're trying to punish Vladimir Putin. That's a difficult thing to say. What President Biden is trying to do is make that choice a little easier for these politicians going forward. Now, this is still in the works. This task force was just announced today, so it remains to be seen how successful it will actually be. But certainly, this is a step in that direction.
Yeah, the president calling it a catalyst, calling it an opportunity, realizing he has to seize this moment. CNN's Kevin Lipkat. Thank you so much, Kevin. Appreciate your reporting, as always. Great intense street fighting in Ukraine's capital and Russian troops being pushed back. We hear from someone on the ground there next. And a new request for Western firepower from Ukraine. What 1,000 javelins and stringers could do on the battlefield. That's next.
Just tap and there you have it. You're all new.
Grateful Europe is for their unwavering support. This support also extends to strengthen
Ursula
Europe's
von der Leyen,
energy security
European
and
Commission
independence
President
from Russian fossil fuels. As you know, we aim to reduce this dependency on Russian fossil fuels and get rid of it. And this can only be achieved through, of course, first of all, investment in renewables, but also through additional gas supplies, including LNG deliveries. So we want, as Europeans, to diversify away from Russia towards suppliers that we trust, that are friends, and that are reliable. And therefore, the US commitment to provide the European Union with additional, at least 15 billion cubic meters of LNG this year is a big step in this direction. Because this will replace the LNG supply we currently receive from Russia. And looking ahead, the United States and Europe will ensure stable demand supply for additional at least 50 billion cubic meter of US LNG until 2030. And if you look at that, this amount, 50 BCM per year, is replacing one third already of the Russian gas going to Europe today. So we are right in on track now to diversify away from Russian gas and towards our friends and partners, reliable and trustworthy suppliers. We need to secure our supplies not just for next winter, but also for the years ahead. And this is an important, a big starting point.
Biden, you president, is who you asked me.
Our partnership aims to sustain us through this war.
Yeah, apparently the U.S. has a lot of
from
gas, natural gas.
But it also focuses on building a greener future with climate neutrality. We will work together, also with our energy-intensive industry. And the good news is that the infrastructure that we use for gas today can be used for clean hydrogen in the future. So this investment we are doing right now is also an investment in the decarbonizing.
We should find ways to get it out of the ground without having to frack with
the corporation
the synthetic fracking tool. Apparently it causes earthquakes.
I particularly welcome that we will step up our respective action on strengthening democracy, the rule of law, the freedom of the media in the world.
Maybe
and we also need
to
continue adapting
it
our own
very
democracies
apparently
to a changing world. This is particularly true when it comes to digitalization, in which
the
protection of personal data and privacy has become so crucial. Therefore, I'm
but there's
very
no sunlight, you know, wind power,
that we have
other
found
kinds
an
of power,
agreement in principle on a new framework for transatlantic data flows.
Geothermal power.
This will enable predictable and trustworthy data flows.
It's really not necessary
if
we can just
write
and change.
Safeguarding privacy and civil liberties. And I really want to thank Commissioner Reynders and Secretary Raimondo for their tireless efforts over the past month to finish a balanced
the businesses are
and
keep
effective solution. This is another step in our strengthening our partnership. We managed to balance security and the right to privacy and data protection. Mr. President, dear Joe, Putin is trying to turn back the clock to another era, an era of brutal use of force, of power politics, of spheres of influence, and internal repression. I am confident he will fail. We are working together to forge a peaceful, prosperous, and sustainable future. And I know we will succeed. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Oh,
President Biden and European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen speaking, addressing the media, now leaving that room without taking any questions. There's a two-part plan introduced by the two of them.
Sure.
One, reduce Europe's dependence on Russian energy.
That's
the
B-roll.
The
show's live just walked straight out of
energy, period. The first part of the plan would involve this year 15 billion cubic meters of LNG, liquefied natural gas, coming from the U.S. And then between now and 2030, 50 billion cubic meters of liquefied natural gas. There was also mentioning of data security. Not a lot of details on that, so we're going to take it a focus as much as we can here on the energy component. Keep in mind, there wasn't just a focus on where they're going to get it. There was a Green New Deal approach there that did mention reducing Europe's demand as well. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
Let's bring in Congressman Greg Stube, member of the House Foreign Affairs Committee and Iraq War Combat Veteran. Good morning to you, Congressman. Your reaction to this announcement made by the president?
Well, it's interesting that, again, it's all about the climate and not about the national security interests of the United States. We need to be energy independent in this country just like we were under President Trump.
And buy a solar panel.
That not focus on liquid natural gas, but focus on
the thing outside is called the sun. It'll give you energy.
Right here in the United States.
Connected to a battery, and then you'll be energy independent.
Resources to
your energy independence is just being dependent on the government and stinking the place up. And I'm depending on you to not stink the place up.
Focus on shifting from fossil fuels, obviously, it's still the Green New Deal climate agenda type things. You can't just flip a switch on solar or wind or other alternative sources of energy when the states and the countries are not prepared for that. People are going to have gas and energy to run their homes and heat their homes. You can't just make that turn in that quick period of time.
Toward the end of the presentation there, European Commission President literally said the phrase, they want to get rid of Russian fossil fuels. Congressman, we had you on to talk about this. We had many of your Republican colleagues on to talk about this. Why did it take the absolute carnage of the Ukrainian people to finally lead to this moment?
Because that was the only thing that would pressure this administration to actually shift from importing Russian oil and gas to this country versus producing it here ourselves. And now they're all trying to scramble to try to figure out how they're going to provide for the energy needs of their country and their people.
And there's so many...
Leave the Russian army, the casualties here will never forget.
Look at the numbers of how many millions of barrels of oil that are burned every day and some out of control.
The West is refusing to renew its own, so if you don't no-fly zone by the West, then we are happy to make a no-fly zone ourselves, but we are asking for the means to do so.
Svyatoslav Yurash, Ukrainian member of parliament, please stay safe. It's always terrific to have you on. I know how busy you are. Thank you, sir.
Odometers, that info site is what I look at.
President Biden says the West is more united than ever in his response to Russia's invasion of Ukraine, and he has a new warning for Vladimir Putin if he decides to use chemical weapons. And China says he is concerned about the crisis that's unfolding in Ukraine, but Beijing won't criticize Russia. A live report next.
Spending people would rather do things
wrong. That they say that they support low middle income earners, they're the ones that are most affected by increasing gas prices, who are working two jobs, trying to provide for their families.
See, this guy's looking at it all totally wrong. And he doesn't look like a real super old guy, too. That's the concerning thing.
Gas prices is your low to middle income earners who are living paycheck to paycheck.
So if you had a solar panel on your house, an electric car,
on their everyday living,
you wouldn't have any energy needs
at all. We appreciate you hanging out with us to address that speech. We do appreciate your time. Let's go to Jonathan. I'm now live on the
ground. Anything I can imagine besides that would be dependent on somebody.
By the president, by the European Commission.
And cause
the president. You've also been researching this topic of energy and Europe.
That's not a hard concept to grasp. That's why Elon Musk's company
sells
solar-powered houses with electric cars.
Yeah, Todd Carley, back in 2005, Fox News Management had the foresight to send a team that included me to
batteries
to
of
investigate
away, so
European
dependence
on Russian
no
energy. The then Chancellor of Germany, Gerhard Schröder,
a lot of places make extra energy too. Some places don't make enough, and they've got
to
plug into the power grid and get some of
these gas pipelines into Germany.
Some of those places give energy back to the grid because they make so much.
The board of Gazprom, the Russian multinational that runs its gas industry. He literally sold the future of Germany to Russian energy interests. We asked him that question directly in 2005. And said, have you sold out the German people?
You know, when I go to the library in Kahului, it's always cool because it's pulled down solar panels there.
Literally been able to hold
so, plug in my device that
of its role as a huge energy supplier. Would we be in this position now if they had not done that? Nobody can say that for sure, but certainly it has been a major problem, and Europe is now trying to dig itself out of a hole it put itself in.
Incredible insight, Jonathan, from you there about the history of what has, I think, and many others believe could have been one of the key factors that led to this war. When you think of how closely aligned Germany is to Russian oil and gas, the calculus that President Putin probably thought there's no way that Germany would sanction Russia or send Ukraine weapons, and that was a miscalculation on his part, because that's exactly what we're seeing unfold today. Jonathan, thank you so much for your remarks.
Sure. Follow the money. It always leads to where you need to go.
Follow the money.
Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is a warning for President Biden ahead of the midterms.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
We do not have much more time to wait because these falling polling numbers, I don't believe in governing by polling. This is really about the collapse of support.
But she didn't stop there. Hear what the squad member had to say about the far left losing faith in the White House.
Only what she has to say, but not from their perspective. But see, everybody's on a commercial, huh? So I have to wait my way.
Husband are not involved in each other's work. However, Clarence Thomas was the only justice who voted against the National Archives handing over Trump's presidential records, which included these text messages, to the January 6th.
This is a strange story. I just read something about this.
The Supreme Court rejected Trump's bogus election claims. We're going to speak with the Washington Post, Bob Woodward, about this incredible reporting just ahead of Lawyer Joe. To other notes, Julia Thomas has also acknowledged that she was
the wife of the Justice Clarence Thomas. Text message Mark Meadows from the Trump administration to say basically try to make sure Trump wins the election. I don't know how those two know each other. That's
the historic confirmation hearing for the first black woman nominated to the Supreme
and
Court.
And I don't know if it was a message sent by the Supreme Court Justice or just simply she
from the American Bar Association, which gave Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson a glowing review. After 4 days and more than 30 hours, Judge Jackson looks to be on track to join the High Court. But that may come without the Republican support the White House was hoping for. Just hours after the hearing ended yesterday, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell announced he will vote against Judge Jackson. Democrats are hoping for a full Senate vote by April. There are still a couple of Republican votes daily, Senator Susan Collins of Maine, who's been up against. Still ahead, the latest from Ukraine is soldiers in that war-torn country keep up the counteroffensive against Russian troops. We'll get a live report next on Way to Work.
My agency stayed here.
Specifically, I think the implications there were quite
China country should not be forced to choose a side.
Kind of option that would help mitigate the impact of the Western sanctions.
And do
you
the solution to round? Why take a side? Maybe the problem is round. That's how it
goes. The U.S. and its allies are not dare in full sanctions of China because of their point is where the deeper trade and economic ties.
Christine, Stephen Jane, thank you so much for that. Thanks for the invitation.
right, 1,000 missiles a day. That's requests from the U.S., to the U.S. from Ukraine, and that's not all they're asking for.
Plus, the pipeline to overturn the 2020 election, new text messages revealed between conservative provocateur, wife of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, and Donald Trump's former chief of staff.
Is now a good time for us.
She's a private citizen, as far as I know. I don't think she works for the government. So I don't know if any of her behavior. I don't think she can be held accountable as if she were a Supreme Court justice.
Get something straight. You remember, if you covered it from the very beginning, I did not say that, in fact, the sanctions would deter him. That's not what I said. You're playing a game with me. I know. The answer is no. I think what happens is we have to demonstrate the purpose. I say the most important thing is for us to stay unified.
Here with us, that box is Contributor Joe Conjo. Okay, Joe, there we have the evidence of sanctions not leading to different behavior. Here's the White House saying literally the exact opposite thing.
Yes, our intention is to have a deterrent effect.
The president believes that sanctions are intended to deter. The purpose of the sanctions, in the first instance, is to try to deter Russia from going to war.
The allied relationship is such that we have agreed that the deterrent effect of these sanctions is still a meaningful one.
So, again, Joe, as long as we're clear on that, who should we believe?
The video, the evidence, I think that may be a way to go. You know, Tim Russert, the Meet the Press, NBC, the great Tim Russert, used to do this very thing when he would interview politicians. He would literally play back the words of that politician or of that politician's administration or even the work for him and says, okay, you said this yesterday.
I just want to hear the thing about AOC. This is nonsense.
What say you, sir?
People focus on so much nonsense.
It's very easy journalism to do. It's fair journalism.
It's funny how when they write it in the newspaper, if you've never seen this written in a newspaper like this.
What that person said. And by the way, this is...
Or FoxNews.com writes stuff and the reporters write stuff. They write articles.
Said that. Which is you're playing a game with me. That would be considered a chilling attack of a member of the Free Press.
Yeah, they miscommunicate. Why the ones say one thing and say something else?
Remember, this is the same Joe Biden.
So they were on the same page.
This network, a stupid son of a female dog. It's a morning show. We'll leave it at that. And this is the same Joe Biden.
She's not dealing with this.
Push-up contest. Just went after a little question at a town hall. So this is what he does. It's very
which is probably great because it's not our war. It's not something
that there. In this case, we're perfectly fair and relevant.
He's not right in this phase.
He takes a question from those who isn't on this mandatory list. Remember, we took that question yesterday. As he was trying to leave and decided to call on somebody who he wasn't supposed to call on, then this is what happened.
Joe Biden can even lead us all up to the Secretary of State, too.
Gushing over President Biden's Supreme Court nominee while also attacking Justice Brett Kavanaugh. Take a listen to what they said about him. Watch this.
The misinformation about her defense of child pornography, like the people who offend with child pornography, it's not true.
We have a Republican Party that is appealing to a bunch of lunatics on the right. I feel like if they were so concerned about pedophilia and sex crimes, why didn't they want to hear the allegations against Brett Kavanaugh?
Yeah, so, Joe, I mean, your reaction to that, especially that comment from Whoopi Goldberg at the end, my goodness.
Shut the front door, Charlie. I mean, come on. Not just the view. Did you see the Washington Post headline yesterday quote, Republicans boast they have not pulled a Kavanaugh. In fact, they've treated Jackson worse. Treated Jackson worse? Have they accused Jackson of gang rape at high school parties 4 years ago? Did they come to Jackson's high school yearbook blurb? I mean, Brett Kavanaugh was treated as poorly as any, forget Supreme Court justice, as anybody at any hearing probably in the history of this republic. And to start to go through this whole process of saying that, well, you know, this particular nominee is being treated so horribly, you got to look at the precedent and what happened to not only Brett Kavanaugh, but Amy Coney Barrett during her, obviously, hearing. It's just ridiculous. And it doesn't excuse anything that's going on now. The bottom line is that this nominee is going to go through. It's going to go through, and it's going to be a 6-3 court no matter what.
Like
they saw it in the circuit, so in general, we got to go. Jeff, thank you.
Thanks, Jeff. All right, up next, my flip of interview with the American government worker who barely escaped Afghanistan after the Taliban took over.
Jesus.
We're asking her if the Biden administration came through on any of the promises.
Like I said, I was just waiting for that segment for them to talk to AOC. I did not have to wait through that nonsense. Oh, my God.
Asking, please send us javelins, please send us stingers. The numbers that they need. Of course, and we know how many vehicles that the Russians have. And also, we're discovering, or the Ukrainians have shown us, that you can also use some of these weapons against, particularly javelins, if a Russian patrol boat comes in a little too close to shore. So there's a lot of need for this. And the launcher that fires the javelin missile has an exceptionally good thermal energy device, so it also gives them a huge advantage at nighttime.
Yeah, look, they're incredibly effective weapons. We just spoke to a Ukrainian member of parliament who added, we've shown that we can use them well.
Yeah, it's a great point. I noticed 8 years ago when we started working with Ukrainian soldiers.
This is John Berman. He did a segment earlier with a kid with a guitar in Ukraine.
Kind of fire radar.
And it was an interesting interview. I only saw a part of it, but... Berman had a mask on his face, and the kid did not, but he was playing guitar in a bed with both legs bent. Somewhere in Ukraine.
We should stop hesitating, like, oh, they might not know how to use it, because they clearly
don't. Sounded great.
There seems to be something of a static nature to where things stand right now. Ukrainians launching these mini counter-offensives to take back some towns that the Russians have occupied. Meanwhile, the Russians continue to strike areas from the air, devastation in some Ukrainian towns, and they continue to hit strategic sites, they say, like this fuel depot. How long can something like this go on?
Well, I think we are in the decisive phase of this campaign. I believe that Russian forces have culminated in terms of their ability to conduct sustained land offensive operations. But they still have the ability to continue murdering innocent Ukrainians. They still strike some targets. I don't know exactly how many cruise missiles and artillery rounds they started off with, but I imagine that they've got to be running low, so they can't sustain this forever. It feels to me, my sense, and you're frankly, you're closer to it than I am, is that the momentum is shifting, and this is time for us to fork at home, that the arsenal of democracy...
Ukraine tells U.S. that it's 500 javelins, 500 stingers per day. It's interesting. That sounds like a lot.
Just within days, Ukraine really being able to get the momentum.
And it's interesting that the news hasn't reported on them meeting that many before this.
They need visibility on some of these towns that the Ukrainians say they have retaken, or at least what they're finding when they get back into them. We're trying to get as much information as we can about that. The United States continues to state publicly that they...
I read that Russia has fired over 1,500 missiles into Ukraine from Russia.
How much do you fear that?
And it's been 1 month, so...
Is there any deterrent?
Did the math, but that's a lot of missiles.
So, look.
They could imagine they could keep doing that for a very long time. And they've secured supply lines and they're going to
bomb the place as long as they need to.
Their intelligence
services have done a superb job of identifying what the Russians are doing or even thinking about.
I think if they make a deal with Russia, it would have been the same deal that they would have gotten in the beginning, maybe worse now.
But.
But the same deal they're going to get no matter what, they're going to make a deal around. Just a thought, because I don't, by listening to Russia, it doesn't sound like they want to move from Kiev.
would not increase
but that they want the other parts.
Battlefield
and it's going to be that way whether they like it or not, or you get it or you get it.
That if they do use chemical weapons, there will be severe consequences. And this will put things in a new category. Secretary John Stoltenberg said that.
So maybe it'd be interesting. I'm not sure, you know, if there's natural boundaries around there that will maybe become like the new borders. Or whether, you know, but it'll probably shrink a little bit.
The only use that the Russians have for nuclear weapons is threat. Because they see how we react. And honestly, I think we are open to reacting to these threats. And we should be a lot more forward-leaning.
Potentially.
I mean, we have all the advantages.
Yeah, that's kind of like if they want to occupy the middle of the country, in the northern part of the country.
General Ben Hodges, we really appreciate you being with us. Thank you so much.
And their phases may change. If they have intended on doing in the next phase may change based on what happens in this phase. They may take over more land to recoup more losses.
Or see where we are right now, and how do we have any trust that Vladimir Putin won't take things a step further?
Look, it assumes the presence of a rational actor here, and I think that is something we can't be certain of. Right.
That's what authors get to do, writers. They get to get inside the head of people that are
sitting in U.S. Supreme Court justice, calling the 2020 election the greatest heist of our history. What would text messages mean for the January 6th committee now? And Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson.
The law profession is going to make you have to do that.
The Republicans who say they plan to vote against her next.
Some people are unwell, and you got to think like they think or try to predict how they think.
Or you've got unbeatable. Next.
And then you're just like, ah, oh, man. Because you look at the way they've thought,
the
and then the irrational inferences from there.
I have to wait for 5 days when no one showed up. They said if we see a second
don't assume
person,
anything, except just
away.
Conclude that they could do anything
the
already, though.
The government said that, yes. I was still there. The only thing I could think of was my family here, of if I'm going to be able to see them again. All I can do is just cry.
First of all, I think it's irresponsible to say Americans are stranded. They're not.
I make no comments.
In January, during President Biden's press conference, he said that he makes no apologies for how people that are in family would have wondered how the families of those thousand soldiers feel that we lost just a little bit of the last American soldier that passed. And I want to know how those families feel that lost their sons and daughters in the 20 years of war in Afghanistan for nothing, because we are back to ground zero. It's worse than it was before.
This is land too. What's wrong with these people? Oh man. We're playing these graphics here and showing these people in the dark same thing, trying to influence what people think about the situation. Sky News, they're owned by Fox. They're just as jacked up as Fox News is. Just as biased and as controlling and as conservative.
And to be quite honest, difficult with the help of folks that were trying to help, and of course my husband, my brother, and then their connections, we were able to evacuate those.
This is a real weird one because conservatives and liberals agreed that it was horrible how the U.S. left Afghanistan. And they did it for totally different reasons.
No idea. Donald came back after 20 years.
Because, like, the liberals. Are upset because this new government that's there now, well, the Taliban, which is
so
there, but not, is now
the
new government too.
For voters and push Republicans to big victories in the midterm
they don't like
election.
Liberals.
Alexis
like
Martinez Johnson,
Mexico's
congressional candidate and environmental engineer.
And then the conservatives
Jennifer
are upset Carnahan, because
a businesswoman,
the military get
these
and
Kathy Barnett, Pennsylvania.
Conservatives want to use it against liberals. That's the other issue
in
that
the U.S.
they have.
Army
it's like no hanging fruit.
The disastrous
against
the
Biden administration.
Out of the news cycle,
But in reality, there was just one terror attack when they left, and that killed 13 Americans.
I know, you know, and I'm like just over looking to that, my heart breaks. These are very real people. We're living in very serious times.
So, and that was terrible. That's awful. I said they should put up like a monument to those people. The last people surviving.
They're continuing to talk about climate change and moving people into electric vehicles. The world continues to move forward, and the world is shifting. When you take a look at Joe Biden,
that's it, though. You can't really control a terror attack.
It kind of looks like a game of whack-a-mole. There is no plan. Whatever pops his head up, then that's what he passes on. We're in very serious time. You look at the energy sector here versus what's going on in Germany, the piece that you had right before us coming on. You know, what are we doing? What is happening? People are dying, the world is shifting, and Americans feel very
I heard some disturbing things from some Republicans in Congress about just getting right back in there.
That is something
they spoke
that
confidently saying that they were going to have to get back in there.
What's your reaction to that announcement that the president just made? Well, here in New Mexico, you know, we have a plethora of oil and gas. We really could be shipping our oil and gas there in the southeastern part of New Mexico.
I think there's half a dozen reasons. I'm not entirely sure which reasons are most important to him.
To make sure that the European countries are not beholden to Putin. You know, Putin has us where he wants us. And quite frankly, our world is more unstable.
America likes to help a lot of countries. Sometimes it turns into something else.
So good morning. We have now learned that there are these 29 text messages that the House committee has obtained. They got them from Mark Meadows.
It's kind of gossipy.
Many of them are from Jim Thomas, the White Correspondents, to Mark Meadows, and what they represent.
Where they get the TMZ, the personal texts.
And even conspiracy theories as Donald Trump is pushing to overturn the election. So they really played in
I'm just curious about
the ideas that Trump and the White House people like Meadows were espousing as they were gaining support to block.
I like to know stuff that breaks the law. I think that's important threshold. Let's hear about lawbreakers, not just about people that do stuff that you can make people feel weird about.
Theories that there might be election fraud. There was none ultimately. So this one text message,
November. Now it's forensic files and some people killed there, and then police figure out how that happened and who did it.
And her team are getting a
mandate of evidence of
fraud. Make a plan. Release the Kraken and save us from the left taking America down. There are more text messages in November.
I don't even care.
Meadows. But then after the insurrection on January 10th,
these two political parties in our country are like two high school cheerleaders.
To stop the presidency of Joe Biden. Thomas then writes Meadows, we are living through what feels like the end of America. Most of us are disgusted with the VP.
If I decided to leave the United States, it would be for that reason, because these two wonky political parties run everything. They're both full of shit, and you both have to listen to them all the time.
Amazing times. The end of liberty. That's January 10th, Jimmy Thomas to Mark Meadows. Now, this obviously is a very connected person, a private citizen, but her husband, Clarence Thomas, does sit on the Supreme Court at this time. He was looking at election cases,
yes.
And ultimately had to decide whether Mexicans like these public records would end up going to the House Committee.
Yeah,
not right now.
And notably, the only vote against having an appeal court in the
All right, Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson is on track for a historic confirmation after 4 days of Senate hearings that turned contentious at times. It confirmed 51-year-old Jackson would be the first black woman in the Supreme Court, but it seems she won't have the bipartisan support the president had hoped for his nominee. CNN's Daniela Diaz is live on Capitol Hill. Daniela, Mitch McConnell says he won't vote for her. Is every Republican...